Oh, praise the Lord this morning that you are here. And we believe His Word. And we believe this morning that He has worked out the details in your lives, that He is in control of all things. And that you are here for an express purpose, a particular reason that God has in store this morning for you. He is in control of all things once again. We want to praise Him this morning that He has worked out the details in our lives that we might be here. We are a busy people. We have a lot of things going on every day. But praise God this morning that He has provided for us this church, this place, and this time, and never in all of time and eternity will this hour be repeated. Never again. This is the hour that He has given us that we might be separated, set aside from the things of the world, and that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. So let's remember that this morning. We're not going to regain this time. We're never going to repeat it. So our time here together, in the presence of each other, each of these loved ones, and our presence with God is so important. It's so important. So let's look this morning to God's Word. We'll read a portion of Scripture from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 17, Matthew 4:17. Now those of you who were here Wednesday night might get just a little bit of a recap here. We did talk about this a little bit Wednesday night. Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, or fishermen. And he says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And we'll stop right there. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about one of mine and Wayne's favorite subjects. And that is fishing. We're going to talk about fishing this morning. It may be a little bit unusual to talk about fishing from the pulpit. But the Lord talked about it. And the Lord used it as an illustration. And He did it for a reason. We say, well, the only reason He said that was because they were fishermen. And He spoke to people in terms, on levels, if you will, that they could understand. And this is true. But let me tell you this morning that He's speaking to us on a level that we can understand too. This was here. This story was here. This event was recorded for us. It was recorded for us. And so let's look at it this morning. Let's take a look at what all was said and some of the things that were implied and meant. And we'll apply it to us today as fishermen or as fishers of men. Now let's notice in verse 19 what He said to the two fishermen. He said, follow me, That was the first thing he said, follow me. When God saves us, when he changes our hearts, when he changed your heart, when he saved you, he put a burning desire in you to do something. And let me tell you this morning that what it was to follow him. He put this desire in you to follow him. All of a sudden, you were changed. And yes, we change over time after we're saved, and we grow toward him. But when he changed your heart, he did it all of a sudden. He did it all of a sudden. And he said to you in your heart, follow me. Follow me. Now, as we follow him, we are taught and guided by him. And we are taught and guided by him to grow in him and to share ourselves with others. We are to share what God has done for us. We are to share our testimony with others. Now, the tools that we have to fish with, number one, is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And it is the number one thing that we need as we fish for men. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A lot of times we forget how powerful God's word really is. When we hold it in our hands, we have it in our mind, when we share it with others, a lot of times we forget how powerful it really is. It is of great power, and we are to respect it. It is the sword of the Spirit. Now, we are to be witnesses for Christ. A lot of times, we like to leave it up to the preacher to do the witnessing. We like to leave it up to the preacher to do all of the communication when it comes to telling about the Lord. Let me tell you that it is our job as Christians to share. To share the gospel with others. To love them to the point that we care whether or not they hear the gospel. We are to be witnesses for Christ. Even if we don't have much skill or much training, it doesn't matter. We still can witness for Christ because the gospel is simple. It's a simple gospel message. And though we may not have natural skill, and some people do, in talking to others and telling others about the Lord, we can still be great witnesses for Jesus Christ. Each of these children can be a great witness for Jesus Christ. The message is simple. And when we rely on God, we rely on the promise that His word shall not return unto Him void. There is the power. There is the power. When we do that, when we completely depend on Him and rely on Him as we talk to others about Him, then we can truly be fishers of men. There are two parts. Our part and the Lord's part. And we realize that the Lord's in control of everything. And that He is sovereign in all things. Yet we still have something to do. He has given us something to do in the salvation of sinners. A responsibility, a duty. And that is to share the gospel. To share the gospel. Now we can do that. We can share the gospel. But God, and only God, can change a heart like He changed yours and like He changed mine. Only He can do that. Now, first off, let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark 5:18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Our Lord had healed this man. However, Jesus allowed him not to stay with him. Allowed him not, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you." And that's what we are to do. When He saved us, from that point forward, we are to go to our friends and share with them what He's done for us. What great things He has done for us. What a great thing it was. What a powerful God that could change somebody like me. And He did it. And He did it. What a wonderful thing. That He changed me. He had compassion on me because He loved me. And so He did for you. And now, we have the desire to share this experience. To share our testimony with others. If you're going to catch fish, the first thing you have is the desire to fish. You have to have the desire to fish. You ever been fishing with somebody who didn't have the desire to fish? I have. It's not the same. My wife doesn't really desire to fish, but she'll go with me. But when she gets a fish on the end of her pole, she wants me to pull it in because it's no fun for her. And I'm like, "Don't you feel him on the other end? Isn't that exciting? You pull him in, I got a book to read." You know what I mean? Desire is just not there. The first thing to catch fish that you have to have is the desire to fish. And that desire comes from God. And when He saves us, He gives us that desire. Now, it doesn't stay. Mine did not stay as strong as it was when He saved me. I told y'all Wednesday night, when the Lord saved me, I had every intention of changing the whole world. And I felt like through God I could. If I had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I could move mountains, couldn't I? But something gets in the way, and that something is the sin in our daily lives. The desire to fish. Now, a successful fisherman must be intent on catching fish. He must be intent on catching fish. He must have this consuming desire to bring people to Christ. What if we don't? What if we don't have a very strong desire to bring people to Christ? What's wrong with us? Well, let me tell you, if we don't have a strong desire to bring people to Christ, then we need to be praying for it. God will grant it. God will increase the desire in us to share Him with others. He will. If you ask, He will give it to you. If our desire to share Christ with others is not as strong as it should be, and mine's not, I'll tell you right now, this message this morning is for me. But be of good cheer, I'm sharing it with you. But it's for me. The desire. We must pray daily that the Lord would increase the desire in our hearts to share, to care about whether others live eternally or die eternally. It's that important. It's that important. Now what about tackle? What about fishing tackle and bait and such? When Wayne and I are getting ready for a fishing trip, we do a lot of preparation. We spend a good bit of time thinking about what we're going to take with us, how we're going to use it. We prepare. We think about what's going to happen. Hopefully, we're going to go somewhere to fish, and everything's going to work out right, and we're going to get the bait in the water where the fish are, and they're going to bite, and we're going to catch fish. That is the goal. And we prepare toward that goal. We think about it. We go all the way from putting new line on our reels to buying new hooks and digging bait and buying boats sometimes and just all kind of stuff. And that's the same thing that we need to do to prepare ourselves to share the gospel of Christ with others. We run into difficulties. All kinds of things get in the way when we try to share Jesus with others. Satan is there. Our nature is there. Our nature causes us to go through all kinds of feelings about how the person that we're sharing the gospel with feels about us. Our nature causes that. It's like a stumbling block. But let me tell you, if we're prepared, we can get over that stumbling block. We can get over it. The two most important items of preparation before we go fishing for men is prayer and studying this Bible. The two most important things is prayer and Bible study. We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. We need to depend on God. Because I know if it's just my words, that they will fail. But what is it that you can go to and use and depend on that God promises won't fail? It's not your words, it's His. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, see. So use God's word. Quote straight out of the Bible when you're sharing the gospel message with others. You can't go wrong when you do that. God will bless it. His word shall not return unto him void. Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. That's a sure promise, isn't it? It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. That which God pleases, it shall accomplish. His word, how powerful is His word? Oh, it is so powerful. It is the sword of the Spirit. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It shall prosper. We worry and we think about, well, they're not going to listen. Who are we to judge who will listen and who won't? We don't have the right to do that. We don't have the right to look at a person and say, they're not going to listen to me about the Lord. They probably won't even respond. Or if they do, they'll probably respond negatively. Seems like I think that way sometimes because I bypass opportunities to witness to people. Why do I do that? If I've got a fishing pole in my hand and I see a real good place to fish, I'm probably not going to go past it till I try it. I'm probably not going to go past it. If I think there's fish there, I'm probably going to try to get them to bite. How much more important is it to seize the opportunity to catch a man for the Lord? So much more. So much more. Use His word, for it is sure and it will not return unto Him void. Where's the best place to fish? We go through a lot of trouble to figure out where the best place to fish is. A lot of time. We'll check on the internet. We'll look in the paper. We'll get maps. We'll ask other people. We'll go to a lot of trouble to figure out where's the best place to catch fish. So where's the best place for personal witnessing in your life? Think about it. That's all I'm asking us to do this morning is to think about it. I'm so prone not to think about witnessing. I've got so many other things I think about. And for some reason, I don't spend time thinking about how I'm going to witness to other people. I don't spend enough time preparing myself so that I'll know what to say and so that it'll come out naturally. Why do I do that? Well, I think that Satan tempts us to other things to take our mind off of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think our natures also drag us away from anything that has to do with spreading the gospel of Christ. So where's the best place to fish in your life? When in your life do you come in contact with other people? Almost every minute? Almost every hour? Certainly every day? That's a good time. When you come in contact with other people, that's a good time. One of the greatest witnesses that we can be, that we can do, is how we live our lives. That we'd live our life as a witness. That we would practice, if you will, what we preach. It's important when you're telling somebody about the Lord, that they see the Lord in your life. That they see that love of Christ in you. That you truly do care about them. When you approach a person to witness, it's important that you do it sincerely. Because you love them. Because you love the Lord. And it'll show. It'll show. Approach that person as if you want to make a permanent friend of them. Not like you're a car salesman. These are just things to think about. It's important that we think about how we're going to talk to people about the Lord. Just think about them. These are just a few things I'm throwing out there to stir up your minds. That you would think about it. But it is so important. Anytime we're around people, we should always be on the lookout for those that we can tell about the Lord. When we are serious about witnessing for God, opportunities will be everywhere. Opportunities will be at every turn. And it doesn't have to be a great, big, doctrinal statement every time you talk to somebody. But bring into their mind Jesus Christ and Him crucified to pay for their sins. Bring to their mind the gospel story of how God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel message is simple, and it does not take a scholar to convey it to others. It does not take a scholar. For some reason, we tend to think of it that way. And as I said earlier, to leave it to the preacher, because he's the one that's so educated. He's the one that knows the most about the Word, and we think that way sometimes. But it's not true when it comes to witnessing for God. Personal witnessing. Everywhere we go, there are opportunities. Now, I said when we get serious about it and we think about it and we plan for it, there'll be opportunities at every turn. But let me tell you something else. The opportunities are already there and they've been there. I am the one that hasn't been there. The opportunities have been there all along. And it's sobering to stop and to think how many people we've had the chance to tell about the Lord and haven't. It's sobering. It's a staggering thought. There are thousands. Oh, that we would take it seriously and we would think about it and plan on it. And we know that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes hearts. But we need to realize that He does it through individuals and through individual witnessing. Yes, God is in control of all things, and He is in control even of our witnessing. But let me tell you, we have a responsibility to do it. We have a duty to do it. The Lord said He could raise up preachers from rocks, and He could. He is all-powerful. But He didn't choose to, see. He chose to raise us up to do it. Through the foolishness of preaching, He says. Sometimes we have to be cautious how we approach people. Sometimes it's important to find out something about people, and you can learn about people in seconds when you approach them. In seconds, you can learn all kind of stuff about them. You can learn about their problems. You can learn about their needs. You can learn about their character and personality. You can learn what matters to them. All of this, you can learn in seconds. This is what I'm talking about when you first meet somebody. You can learn all of this in just a matter of seconds or minutes talking to them. And we need to use tact. I'm not saying that beating somebody over the head with the Bible never works. But let me tell you that the old saying goes, you can draw more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Well, it's true. And these are the kind of things we need to think about ahead of time so that we will be prepared to share the gospel. The approach. In some of these mountain streams where people fish for trout, they will start 100 yards back from the stream and they will crawl up to the stream. Why? Because if they don't, they will spook the fish. They will spook the fish. They will run the fish off if they're not careful. And so we need to think about being careful. I'm not talking about watering down the Word or anything like that. But the approach is important enough for us to think about ahead of time. Think about it ahead of time. If you consider who this person is, what his attitude is about life even, and care about this person as you share the gospel with them. And when you do, as I said before, it will show. It'll show. Love, or charity, as the Bible puts it in several places, love is the key to success in the Christian life. It's the key. If we don't witness to anybody, it is the key to success in the Christian life, in our lives, pertaining to us and our relationship with the Lord. Love is the key. And love is the key in the success of witnessing to others too. Love is the key. They see the love of Christ in us, the way we live our lives, the way we care about others. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. If you are living the life that you are presenting to them, it makes all the difference in the world. Love is the key. Love. We need to keep in mind that we have something. We possess something in our soul that this person needs more than anything else in the world. Even though they don't know it. Think about that. We have Jesus Christ in our lives. That is the most important thing that anyone will ever need. That they know Christ. That they are saved. We have that. We are saved. We have the Lord living within us. And that person needs Him more than anything else he will ever need. We need to think about these things. It'll make a difference in how we present the gospel and how we approach people to present the gospel. It is our business to present Christ's claims, the claims of Christ, and the sinner's need of Christ. John 3:16, I quoted it a while ago, says that He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a promise. It's a promise. We need to share that promise with others. We need to tell them of God's promises or belief in Him. And we need to pray for this person. Pray that God would change their heart. As I said, only He can do it. Only He can change the heart. But He uses us to spread the message. He uses us. The only angling that is guaranteed not to fail is the use of God's Word. Once again, we read Isaiah 55 and verse 11 where it says that His Word shall not return unto Him void. In other words, you put it out there and it's going to have an effect. Now, you may not see the effect. But let me tell you, your job, your business, your duty is to spread the gospel. The effect is caused by God. And it rests in His hands. It rests in His hands. So though we feel and seem like we're unsuccessful a lot of times, we don't know that we are. Now, let me tell you a little story to prove that. I was saved 26 years ago. And the way it happened was, I was out in Oregon. And I ended up in a little place called the House of Jesus. Because I didn't have anywhere to stay. And in Oregon, in the spring, it rains. And that's all it does. It rains. 24 hours a day in the spring, it rains in Oregon. But I ended up in this little place. And they fed me, put a roof over my head for that night. I didn't have money for a motel or anything. Well, the Lord had led me there, and I did not have a clue. I had a lot of other things going on. But there was a young man who came over to me while I was eating, and he began to witness to me. And he began to tell me about Jesus and how that all I had to do was to believe on Jesus, and I would be saved. And I began to think back about what I had been taught as a child. I remembered a message that my dad taught me when I was a little child. And that message was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That message was that Jesus Christ died for me, that He would never lose me, and that He alone could change a heart, that I could not do it. And I began to preach back to the young man that was preaching to me, and we had quite an all-night conversation. But that word that I had heard preached to me as a child came back to life in my heart and in my mind. And it was nearly 20 years later. So remember that. When you share the gospel message with somebody and they don't hear it, as far as you can tell, just remember, the word that you shared with them, He can use at least 20 years later. And I'm a witness to that. So it's not over when you think it's over. And it is not your responsibility to save a soul and to use that word to save a soul. It is your responsibility to use that word to give to others and to share it with them, to share the gospel message. God gives the increase. God gives the increase. It is Him, His power alone. Pray this morning that something has been said and something heard that would bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. If you know Him this morning, praise Him that He loved you so much that He died on the cross. That your sins might be covered with His blood. If you don't know Him, believe in Him this morning to the saving of your souls. Come to Him. Come to Him this morning. Ask Him to save your soul. Only God can stir up that interest. Only God can change your heart. Only Him. Give Him all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. For it is in His name that we must be saved, and only in the name of Jesus.